So we've had a really good worship, and I think it puts our hearts in the right frame of mind, so to speak. So we're talking today about standing fast in shifting times, and we all experience that, and we've come a long ways through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and it's something that I think that is very relevant to our times, to know where we stand. Lord, as we open your word and we think what and hear what you want to say to us, we pray that you will take away all distractions and that we will be able to focus on you alone. We pray that what we hear we will apply in our lives and that it will make a difference to the people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to look at that one is a little weird. Okay, so we'll see how the technology helps us today or not. So we're going to read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 to 17 for those that don't have Bibles. And I think what I realize in even I use my phone a lot as well. It's very handy. But having the Bible in your hands just is a little different. And it's really, I would challenge you and advise that you really use the written word. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. And you'll see, I've got some multicolors there, and the idea is that those things go together. It's not like that I like to have colors in my life, but it's supposed to help a little bit to keep those things connected. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So, unfortunately, technology wasn't so good. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the wrath of God, and it wasn't recorded. So I'm just going to recap a little bit there. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 to 10, we spoke about Jesus' second coming, and the reason that he's coming is for two reasons: relief for believers, but also retribution for un- and non-believers. Unbelievers are people that just decide, no, I don't want to believe. And non-believers are people that say, oh, I don't care really much. So there is a difference. The one is really active and the other one is really passive. But they all fall in that category that God's wrath is going to be poured out on them. And we talked about God's wrath, that it's eternal, that it's terrible, that it's deserved, but it is escapable, and that is the key to everything. So we're going to focus today on the relief for believers, that is salvation. So he's coming for our salvation. Psalm 3 verse 8 says, salvation belongs to the Lord, and Jonah 2, 9, salvation is of the Lord. So it is something that comes from him, not from us and how good we are. So what did God save us from? Well, it's sometimes people will say, I don't need a savior. Everything is good in my life. No, there is stuff. That is why you need a savior. He's going to save us from God's justice. Exodus 34 verse 7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, because he is just and he needs to punish sin. He needs to give that punishment, but we have an out. He also save us from Satan. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And the third case he saves us from ourselves. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we know how we can kind of get ourselves in trouble. And so his salvation is for those three things, from God's justice, from the evil one, and from ourselves, the way that we are going on in life. So there are two parts in salvation, God's part and our part. So there is we have to be part of that, but God is the one that initiates it. God loves us. He chose us. He called us. He sanctifies us, and he glorifies us. We have to respond. Our part is to hear, to come and listen, to believe, and to respond, and then to hold on and stand firm. God loves us. Now, for the linguists among you, it's the present perfect continuous tense, which means it is something that is going on, started from way back and going on. Isaiah 54, verse 10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So he loved us, but he chose us as well. That is the past tense. That's something he did way back when, before the beginning of time. And on the other side, it's not just we are robots, we are going to go one way. No, God gave us free will. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were in the best place ever, but they chose to forsake that. So God chooses us, but it's not to the exclusion of free will, it's to the inclusion of it. John 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Ephesians 1, 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's where we disagree with people that say, God just chose a certain people to save. God loves everyone. He wants everyone to be saved. But it's up to us if we want to take that offer. It's a free gift. Then God called us, and that is the present tense. Romans 8, verse 30. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. 2 Peter 1, 3, for his divine power has bestowed on us all things that are suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and virtue. And that is what's happening all along. He is constantly speaking to us and he's constantly calling people to come to him. That is his grace that he want people to come to him. And sometimes they say, oh, why? You know, for many times, how long has it been? Even in Paul's time, they were expecting, the Thessalonians were expecting that his second coming, but it didn't happen. That's a long time ago, but it's because he's so gracious. He wants everybody to be saved. And I think to a large extent with social media and electronics and all these information explosion, that is a way that people can be reached way beyond what missionaries and churches could do. Then God sanctifies us. That's also present tense. So it's a process that is busy with us every day. Philippians 1:6, And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So he's not leaving us to our own ways. He's helping us. The Holy Spirit is the tool that helps us to grow, to get closer to God. John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. God will glorify us. Now that's the future tense. We're not there yet. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's something that we are working towards. And we know as our spirit gets renewed, the body goes the other way. It gets harder. The older you get, you start feeling those pains. And we know that we are using it, but it will be new again. And that is, the glorification will be in spirit and in body. So if you looked at, there was a few big names there, or big words. When God called us, it is actually called justification. He delivers us from the penalty of sin. When he sanctifies us, he delivers us from the power of sin. And when he glorifies us, he will deliver us from the presence of sin. So initially, we were enemies of God. And if he didn't send his son, we would be enemies still till this day. And once we accept him, we become his family, his friend. And then in that process, it's not all moonshine and roses. The sanctification is hard. The power of sin is still around us, and we feel it every day. So that is a process that we have to allow him to do in our lives. Because down the road, the presence of sin will be gone, and then we will have relief. So it is a process: justification, sanctification, and glorification. So we're coming now to our part. So we know God's part was he loves us, he chose us, he called us, he sanctifies us, and he's going to glorify us. Now what is our response? Because we have to respond to that. Romans 10, verse 9 to 17. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes and so is justified, and with the mouth he confesses and confirms his salvation. And that is where we know that the baptism is such an important part. It's not going to be something, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. But it is that extra element that you confess with your mouth and that show your action, that what's inside is something that people can see outside as well. The scripture says, no man who believes in him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith. And faith is a gift of God, and that is when we reach out to people, which we should, and we think of somebody that's close to us or that we know, and we want that person to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to pray before you go to that person. And yes, through our actions, through our words, we can make a difference in their lives, but we're not good enough to say anything to change people's minds. The Holy Spirit must change their heart, and that is, we have to pray. We have to pray that God will give them the gift of faith. And then he uses us as his tools. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed in? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. But they have not all heeded the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by preaching the word of God. So, we have to hear. That means we have to come to church. We have to come and hear the word. We have to believe and trust. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We have to stand firm and hold on because the power of sin is still among us. We have to pray. We have to serve. Save people, serve people. We have to share evangelism. And that's where we have evangelism explosion, other courses to be able to be equipped so that you can share the gospel. And we have to send. And we as a church, we've got many missionaries that we support, and your tithings goes towards supporting those people. And some of you even support people privately, missionaries. That is part of your contribution to spread the word. We have to hear. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. And that is, we've talked about earlier in the breaking of bread, the day is approaching, and we might be the generation that will see the Lord coming. We have to believe and trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to refine us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And at our house, we always had, I always tried to get those words for my kids and for myself and say, how can I remember it? So many words. So I had this rhyme that I put in, LJPPKGGFS, and it just rolls so nicely off your tongue that you should be able to remember those, LJPPKGGFS. So that will allow you to remember the fruits of the Spirit. So, I'm not a big art guy, but we know that Michelangelo, he's famous for the David statue and all those things. An amazing anatomy guy. I mean, he would have been the best surgeon ever. It's just amazing how he could get out of a block of marble like that one. He could get these things, these people, he can actually get them. And I read a little bit about that, where a lot of his contemporaries would shape out something, and try to chip off things big so that they can form, this looks like an eagle, or this looks like a bear. He would just take the block, and he will start cutting things from the front to the back. It's absolutely a great way, a gift that he had. But what is interesting is that he's known for all these beautiful statues, but there's also statues or sculptures that's also in the same area where they put them as exhibitions, the non finito sculpture. And there are a few of them. There are four. I could only get the one on the screen. So it means that he didn't finish that sculpture. But as you can see, there is something that's going to happen there, and then he didn't finish it. But it is still an amazing sculpture that is exhibited. Now, through the Holy Spirit, that is where we're at. That is also, you know, how the Holy Spirit chisels away things in our lives, form us, so that he can get us into that finito sculpture. And that is what we have to know, that it's all God, the Holy Spirit. We need to go towards being that end product. Ephesians 2, 8-10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that is what God is doing in our lives. He's forming us. He's the master craftsman. And yes, we still feel like that many times. But it is a process. And we will get there eventually. And then next thing, we have to serve. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. And that is where it's said, save people, serve people. And that is important to know that we are called to do that. And we are very fortunate. We have a lot of people serving, and we've got a lot of volunteers. And it is one of those things that really, even if it's a small thing, know that there is purpose to that, and it's not futile. Now, I think that other one, the last one, was the one that should have gone here on the beginning, and that was, I don't know how that jumped to the front. That one, we have to stand firm. With the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 14 to 18. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude, and right standing with God, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So when we go back to the beginning of standing firm, it is important to know that you don't just stand firm all unarmed and waiting, just let the power of sin just come be part of what you have to withstand. No, we have been given the armor of God, and that is what we have to do. The belt of truth is the word, and that's where we should be really concentrating on, because the word is truth, and that will help us. That will bring the rest of it is all there. And if we really stay in the word, all these things will just come naturally, because the word through the Holy Spirit will come and change us and work within us and make sure that we are becoming more like him. And that is what Scotty Inman had a very nice video, Save People, Serve People. And the words were really, really spoke to my heart. And I want you to really listen to this and know that this is what he calls us for. You know, we have to serve people because we are saved. Not to get into heaven because we're doing all these good things. No. Our heavenly place has been secured when we accepted Jesus Christ. We're doing these things because we're so thankful that he saved us. So Lord, as we're going to listen to this video, let it speak to our hearts. Thank you that you have given us the opportunity to come to you. You've taken away the obstruction between you and us that was sin by sending your Son Jesus Christ to take it away on the cross for each and every one of us. It's a personal thing. Our sins kept him there. Lord, and for that we give you thanks. And Lord, because of that, we want to come to you and want to give you our lives. And we have to want you to work through us that we will become more like Jesus, that we'll be able to help our brothers and sisters, especially those who don't know you, that we will really come alongside them, we will bring them up to you, and that you will give them faith. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You might be that voice in the choir on Sunday morning, or be a welcome smile for that new face in the crowd, or be that silent prayer for somebody who's in need. God will move a mountain, and we can be the seed. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. They get saved. The world is full of lonely, broken hearts on every corner. But we can be a light to the lost and show them love. You might know the Bible quote, the hows and whens and wheres, but some people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Right.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. They get saved.
In the way you give,
hallelujah, saved.
It's in the way you walk, it's in the way you talk,
hallelujah, saved.
It's in the way you live, it's in the way you give,
hallelujah, saved.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
You might be that voice in the choir on Sunday morning, or be a welcome smile for that new face in the crowd, or be that silent prayer for somebody who's in need. God will move a mountain, and we can be the seed.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved.
They get saved.
World is full of lonely, broken hearts on every corner. But we can be a light to the lost and show them love.
You might know the Bible quote, the hows and whens and wheres, but
some people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Right.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. They get saved.
In the way you give,
hallelujah, saved.
It's in the way you walk, it's in the way you talk,
hallelujah, saved.
It's in the way you live, it's in the way you give,
hallelujah, saved.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
It's in the way you talk, it's in the way you live, it's in the way you give.
They get saved.
You might be that voice in the choir on Sunday morning, or be a welcome smile for that new face in the crowd, or be that silent prayer for somebody who's in need. God'll move a mountain. We can be the seed.
Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved. An act of kindness can shake the blindest standing in their way. Sometimes the best witness is what you do, not what you say. Oh, save people, serve people, serve people, get saved.
They get saved.
The world is full of lonely, broken hearts on edge.